Back on another, I don't know, episode zero trust thing, whatever the hell this is that I do. I'm blessed to be at the RSA show. Good friend of mine, Jay Tilson's here. We're going to talk through Cyber GRC with leadership from Cypago, because you guys were kind enough to let me use your suite for this kind of crazy recording thing. Let's do some talking about what you guys do and where it fits in and like how you look at the market. What is Cyber GRC? Let's just start with the really simple question.
I'm willing to do so, and I'm great to be here together. But as long as we are going to open that whiskey bottle over there,
yeah,
at the end of the call.
Yeah, exactly. That's going to make the show that much better.
Okay,
yeah, right. Amazing. We start doing a shot every time someone says AI, we'll be dead before we leave.
Yeah. So let's say AI, and that's it.
Yeah.
We'll end with that. Great. So we have an introduction. I'm Arik Solomon. I'm CEO and co-founder at Cypago. I've been around, I don't know, cyber and technology for ages now. I've been visiting the RSA here for many years, and it's amazing the trend and the change before and after COVID. But I think that everybody will agree that this time this year, 2024, is way better, a lot more active. So it's great to be here, and it's a pleasure to be to have you both in our suite.
Yeah. So Jay does a bunch of good work on the SASE side. I try not to beam up too much about that because SASE is this Gartner thing, and then there's the zero trust side. But for GRC, like for myself, I'm a ZT person. I'm not a GRC ninja. But when we think about GRC, like what's the real kind of new thing that folks are doing in GRC? Because it typically was call an auditor, fill out a bunch of paperwork, spreadsheet yourself to death, and then hope you got it right so you don't get in trouble. But you guys have come up with technology to make this where it's not so miserable.
Right, right. It was check the box and get out of there before someone else comes in and see all the mess that you've created. That's right. But nowadays we talk about cyber GRC.
Yeah.
And that's the next step of evolution as opposed to the generic or legacy GRC kind of tools that we all know that are been existing
for, Excel, right? Excel spreadsheet, yeah, and mostly, pencils and papers.
It's either Excel or the other glorified spreadsheet kind of tools.
Yeah,
that we all know, and we don't have to use the specific names. But as you know, as data complexity grows exponentially, and it's everywhere now, and the amount of regulation scrutiny grows. And just look at the recent changes or updates that this existing administration have incorporated, the SEC new filing rule that
The 8K stuff you got to do and all that, right?
Right, yeah. Right. Now you have to have in your annual report, if you're a public company, you have to add a cyber governance clause in your annual reports, and that goes down to the level of who is the CISO and how his or her experience match or are relevant for what the company is doing. So it goes down to really specifics. And this is why the cyber GRC space has emerged in a way that allows or enables CISOs to really get that visibility that they need. Because when you think of it, like up until yesterday, they had, when they were approaching the board and they needed to report on risks, whatever they had was 2 or 3 months old. So that's already non-relevant. And their team worked for, I don't know, a couple of months in order to generate that. And just mentioned that spreadsheet fatigue. So this is exactly what they are now looking for. They're looking for smart ways, intelligent ways, automated ways to gain that visibility that they need, to make it an efficient process. And even, and that's, we see that with kind of ahead of the curve type of companies, to be able to enforce their policies in the field to make sure that it's not just a Word or PDF document lying out somewhere, but people actually follow that and they have the means to track it.
So then, and Jay, I would like to get your perspective on this too, because you've sat in the chair on the CO, CISO sort of side of this. Like GRC to me seems to be exceptionally complex, and it's a very, like you were saying, it's a very moving target. It's very dynamic. Like how hard in your experience has it been to get compliant or to achieve that? Is it just an absolute nightmare in the past or?
Yeah, I mean, excuse me. It was a ever changing playing field, right? And I think it depended on what kind of vertical you were in, what governance you needed, whether you were highly secure or not secure. And one of the things I was going to ask you was, the skill set to do GRC is something that we always struggle to find somebody that had the skill. And it was always a case of, where do they report? Does this fit in cyber? Does it fit in IT? Should it be separate? Is this person kind of, if it's a CISO, are they kind of marking their own homework? How does it work? But it was definitely complicated. But do you see, I mean, no doubt everything that's going on in the world, there's a bigger need for this, but does it fit in the CISO's remit, or do you need a specific person, or does your solution offer it and make it easier so less resources are required?
Yeah, I think that's a great comment. I think it's fair to say that cyber GRC lies in the intersection of security, IT, and business. And this perfectly aligns with the kind of change that CISOs themselves go through, from being a technical guy to be a business-oriented guy or person. And that, therefore, what CISOs are now doing is they are leveraging their internal teams in order to be aligned with cyber GRC requirements and the way that these processes run. And of course, this, with the combination of the right tool, allows them to actually do that with their existing skill set.
And I think that's imperative, because the world of cyber is evolved. I mean, when I started my career, there wasn't really cyber. I mean,
it was information assurance, yeah, what we used to call it.
Or InfoSec.
Right? Or InfoSec, yeah.
And it's kind of evolved, and the attack vectors have kind of are changing all around us. And I know we said we wouldn't speak AI, but I wanted to give you a chance to have another shot of whiskey.
Thank you.
With AI coming along and everything that's coming along and changing, and the legislation changing, it is an ever-changing playing field. So it's one of the areas for me that you have to keep up to date with. And I think if you have a tool that can help with that, and you don't need to constantly be changing your resources or the people that you've got on board and keeping them up to date. And I think that's really quite important, because we're seeing compromises all the time. And I'm interested to know that, how does GRC kind of fit in with cyber insurance and auditing?
Oh, that's a good question, right? Because if you're compliant, if you can prove it, does that change your policy? Like, is there a calculable risk reduction? Do you get return on that investment? Because I mean, cyber insurance, it's such a Kentucky windage, throw darts at the wall and hope you get it right sort of side of it. But I would think a GRC capability could be something that you could leverage, even if you're the company, right? Go to the insurer and say, here's my compliance report. You know, you should give me a policy that's more accurate.
And if it's not in spreadsheets and you have something that you're not having to constantly update.
If it's living, right. Yeah. Like,
yeah.
Right. But you know what, before we go into that, and that's super interesting, because I mean, insurance, it's kind of the bloodline of everything that happens in the industry. But before we do that, you mentioned that doing security and GRC is kind of a moving target. Actually, there are multiple moving pieces here, not just one thing, because you have companies, I mean, their environments are constantly changing. People come and go, they implement new systems, they change rules, somebody do mistake, configuration changes, and that's it. That's one thing. Regulation changes as well. I mean, administrations, federal, local, whatever, it depends on geography, of course. And also the data is not, I mean, anymore in one place, it's everywhere. And every other day, you have another place where customer data is being kept. So there are multiple moving pieces, and this is why you have to approach. You have to adopt a dynamic approach to that. And the only way to do that, to achieve that, is by leveraging the power of the machine. And again, without mentioning AI, but with
two shots right there.
Already, yeah. We're accumulating that. But just to, I mean, again, you need the machine, you need the intelligence kind of capabilities on your side in order to be able to put it off. Otherwise, I mean, it's just impossible to achieve. And this is why, going back to both of your comments around insurance, this is why this is a great and amazing opportunity for companies, because both from the insurer side and the insuree side as well. Because up until today, their discussions were pretty much, I don't know, kind of a vapor discussion type of, because they were asking for something, companies were saying, yes, 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 we have it, trust us, and that's pretty much it. Now, with the proper software in place, there's a way to be, turn it into a more transparent discussion.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because I mean, that's the, for me, like as a cyber person, that's the problem I have with insurance and cyber is that it's kind of a black box. It's this nebulous hole. And even if you go to a company and you say, here's my report and my network infrastructure and whatever else, they go, cool, your policy is what it is. Whereas logically, it should be more like your car. You know, if I'm a good driver, I've never had a wreck, my car is up to date, all that
and
stuff.
And you have a record that you can...
Yeah, I should be able to show that and get... Because what is it now if you... like I'm a USAA member, I have a autopilot or something on my phone and it tracks everything and it gives me a discount every quarter based on my good driving. Now my wife ruins it because she's a terrible driver. But I mean, the reality of it is like if you have proven capabilities and you're good at what you do, you should get a reduction. And y'all would have a capability to help, report that. I mean, I think it's super interesting. The market needs that type of thing.
Yeah. I mean, I've been audited and done all that kind of stuff and it's point in time.
Yeah.
You tick a box, and we have something called the MOT in the UK where you take your car and every year you prove that it's roadworthy. But a year later, I mean, it could be non-roadworthy the next day.
364 days.
Yeah. Right? So and that's not a great example because we need to fix that as well. But if some, we should be checking more often than that. Like you should be able to automate these things. You should be able to understand if something's changed and put you out of whack or some form of maturity model. The spreadsheet is great or used to be great. But what I used to find when I was doing anything like this was you'd have to go in a year later and go, oh, what did I do last year?
Yeah.
Whereas it's a lot easier if it's there's a system helping you with that, right? Because
absolutely,
if somebody in your team's moved on and you don't know who did it last year, and all of those kind of things, you have to repeat all the effort and do all the groundwork. Whereas we should be more often than that checking.
Yeah, what we see in the market when we talk with companies is that the understanding of the need to have that ongoing continuous monitoring. Because think of it from the liability standpoint. It's no more a game of check the box. Because you as the CISO or the security leaders and the board as well, by the way, are now liable. It's your job on the line. It's not a game. And this is why, I mean, it's not enough to say, yes, last year, this is what we did. If you remember what you did, you have to be up to date. You have to have that system of records in order to be able to present it.
And how, when you deploy, how do you guys deploy? Is it agents on everything? Are you sitting in the cloud just taking data, API hooks? How does, if a company comes to you and goes, cool, let's do this, like what should they expect for configuration, etc.?
Right. So everything is agentless and it's API based.
Okay.
Very easy to onboard and start to leverage the tool. But I think that the main challenge that we see now is that companies, I mean, everybody talks about automation. Everybody appreciate the fact that it's needed, it's required, and that's like the next big thing, although it's super old. And the reason for that is, it's kind of old, but still companies face a lot of challenges embracing automation. Doing that shift from manual to automated, it's more of a mental shift than embracing or leveraging the right technology. And we're helping our customers to do exactly that, to take their existing manual processes and not to try to mimic them in the automated platform, but to see exactly how automation can open up new horizons, new opportunities for them.
Yeah, it's crazy. The more lots of companies talk about automation, optimization, they're always griping about budget and whatever else. And then you go, hey, here's a really great way to save budget, to optimize, to automate, whatever. And then there's the knee jerk of, ooh, like that sounds scary and the change is weird to me. So I should be afraid of it instead of, hey, there's a better way to do this. Let's move forward. I mean, that just to me is what boggles my mind about all the stuff that goes on in this industry and software in general. Everybody wants the thing and then you give them the thing and they're hesitant to use. the thing.
I think there's always that comment of, it's always worked, so why change it?
Well, that's, what was the old saying? Nobody got fired for buying IBM. You know?
Yeah. Yeah, but it doesn't work. I think that, to your comment, it doesn't work anymore.
Yeah.
I think that's the thing. And when you talk with these security teams and GRC teams, they will tell you that. Because for them, it's a pain in the neck or in the lower part of your body.
Mm-hmm.
And they experience, again, they experience that on a daily basis. And they know that firsthand. Management doesn't know that. Because for them, they feel like they're secure or aligned with whatever requirements they have. But once someone, I know, that thing hits the fan, this is where they start asking the tough questions. And again, these security and GRC teams, they know exactly how difficult it is for them to provide a snapshot of what's going on right now.
Mm-hmm.
It can months. Easily take a month just to get the right answers for stakeholders across the country.
Yeah.
Surely there has to be a peace of mind as well, that if you only do something once a year or once every 6 months and it takes you a month to redo it, there's got to be a nervous element there. For me, there would be. When I was on that side of the fence, there would be that nervous element. I'd much prefer to have regular updates and be able to understand. And for me, that's the power of automation, is not having to redo everything and not have to go through that manual process. And we talk quite a lot about how, I'm going to say AI and machine learning.
That's stuff three.
That's three.
Say ML, it's okay.
I'm so glad I don't drink. I'm just looking away. But there's that, people seem to think that that's going to remove the need to have people working and doing those roles. But in my mind, it takes the pressure off people doing those things. There's no longer the chance of human error, and you can proper free up resources to look at things in more detail, because it's potentially going to uncover things that you need to do better. And therefore, you'll also have the resources to do those things better. Versus if it's a manual task all the time, you don't have the resources. So,
yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's not just a matter of freeing up the resources, which everybody lacks, and we know that there's a huge shortage in relevant skills.
It's not just a matter of
that. It's not just a matter of that, but also
once you have
that ongoing visibility that you need
now.
The human experts can do what they're designed kind of to do, and that is to take the right decision. And you have the time, as you just mentioned, to look at the data and to figure out, okay, this is my plan, this is where I want to be at. Now, based on what I know that we have, that we currently have, these are our gaps. This is what we need to achieve. This is what the business asks us to provide. Now I can lay out the specific plan because I have the time to do that. I'm not chasing around records in a spreadsheet from, I don't know, AWS.
You can also see trending information, right? If it's something that
you're
up leveling and you're not just hitting the bar every year to get a certain point in time, you can actually see that you're improving because it's a regular change.
You can identify the trends, and you can also use it to promote the team.
Yeah,
you can prove the other stakeholders that you're achieving something.
Yeah, I mean, so all the validations there, the automation side, it's one of these ones of, so if you're listening to this, which some people do, like three people, check.
The three of us.
Yeah, right. Yeah, well, we've been drinking. So now we haven't actually been drinking, just, you know, joking. But if we were, we'd be dead from overshot of AI right now. So if you're listening to this, come check out Cypago. You guys are bouncing around. You've got a website and all that stuff. Reach out to them and talk GRC, Cyber GRC. Real thing, real experts, folks that know what they're doing, hit them up. Thank you so much for coming on, and we'll push this out to the masses.
Great. Thank you. Thank you for having me today. It was a pleasure.
Thank you.
Disclaimer, the information in this podcast episode, aka episode, is provided for general information purposes only. By listening to this episode, you understand that this is not specific technical guidance from the host. No information contained in this episode should be construed as security advice from the author, host, or guest, nor is it intended to be a substitute for security advice on any particular subject matter. No listener of this episode should act or refrain from acting on the basis of any information included in or accessible through this episode without seeking the appropriate technical or other professional advice on the particular facts and circumstances that are discussed. This podcast is for informational purposes only. All views expressed therein are those of the host and his guest and should not be considered as being endorsed by nor related to the host or the guest's employers.